Iran imposes sanctions on several Canadian individuals and an entity over their support for anti-Iran terrorist groups and inciting violence in the country. The Palestinian president urges Arab leaders to boost their support for the people of Palestine in the face of Israeli crimes. And the Russian president says Moscow may quit the Ukraine grain delivery deal again if Kiev violates security guarantees it has given to Moscow. Welcome to World News, live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you for joining us. Our top story, Iran says it has imposed sanctions on a number of Canadian individuals and an entity over their support for terrorist groups and inciting violence against Iranians. The foreign ministry said the sanctioned individuals and the entity have supported the anti-Iran MKO terrorist group and spread false information about the country. It said they also played a key role in imposing brutal sanctions on the Iranian people. The sanctions list includes Canada's National Defense Minister, the Chief Justice, the Chief of the Defense Staff, and the commanders of the Canadian Air Force and Navy. The National Post newspaper has also been blacklisted because of its anti-Iran positions. A ban on issuing visas and entry into Iran, as well as the seizure of their properties within the Islamic Republic's territory, are among the punishments considered for the sanctioned individuals and the entity. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the 1979 takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran proved that Washington is completely vulnerable. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei added that the rise to power of the current and previous U.S. presidents is a sign of America's decline. He added that U.S. miscalculations during its invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq also exposed its vulnerability. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei noted that the history of confrontation between Iran and the U.S. dates back to the CIA-orchestrated coup in Iran in 1953. But now, he said, American politicians are hypocritically and shamelessly claiming they are supporters of the Iranian people. Iran's leader also referred to the U.S. assassination of General Qasem Soleimani, saying the Iranian nation would never forget the killing of their anti-terror icon and would take action in a suitable time. Ayatollah Khamenei also pointed to the recent riots in the country and called them a, quote, hybrid war. He said a recent intelligence report showed how the enemies had been planning to instigate chaos across different Iranian cities using all means. He noted that the Iranian nation, however, made those plots futile through vigilance. Journalist and political commentator from London, Sayed Mohsen Abbas, tells us why Iran's leader has pointed to the 1953 coup in Iran in his latest remarks.
So when Ayatollah Khamenei talks about that particular coup, not only is it a reminder for the Islamic Republic of Iran's own citizens that actually those who mistakenly perhaps still believe that the American dream is the Iranian dream, perhaps need to review some of their own history and to look at what were the results of that 1953 coup. First of all, 26 years of authoritarian dictatorial rule was one outlet. The other was that all of the Iranian oil industry fell into the hands of the British and Americans. Essentially, they plundered Iranian oil wealth for those decades. You saw a huge reduction of people's freedoms and other liberties. People's economic welfare was very much suppressed as well at that time. And what did the Americans get out of it? Well, they say they got the Soviet Union to not get into Iran and the oil, et cetera, as I've pointed out. But in reality, it's important for people to remember their history, because those who forget their past cannot possibly make sense of their present.
And Iran once again says it is determined to achieve a good, strong and durable agreement to revive the 2015 deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the JCPOA. Foreign Minister Hossein Emi Abdullahian made the remarks in a phone call with the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell. He said Iran has relayed its views with a constructive and forward-looking approach to the American side. Emi Abdullahian added that Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency are also reaching an agreement to continue their, quote, strong cooperation. Borrell, for his part, said the EU would continue its constructive efforts until a final agreement on the revival of the JCPOA is achieved. He also hailed the agreement between Iran and the IAEA for the continuation of their cooperation. Elsewhere, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has urged the Arab leaders to boost their support for Palestinians in the face of Israeli crimes. Abbas made the remark while addressing the first Arab League summit in the Algerian capital. He added that Israel is systematically throwing away all agreements it has signed. Abbas called on Arab leaders to protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the face of Israel's Judaization plans. He also called for a legal committee to be set up to follow up on the crimes committed against Palestinians as a result of the British government's issuance of the Balfour Declaration in 1917. The declaration, which was issued in the final years of World War I, led to the establishment of Israel on Palestinian soil. Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has bragged about his party's performance in the parliamentary election. Initial results show his party and its right-wing allies have won just enough seats to command a narrow majority in the Knesset. We discussed the issue earlier in our news review program.
It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. Israel's former prime minister is boasting of a big victory as his party and its right-wing allies win just enough seats to form a narrow majority in parliament.
Final results, but one thing is already clear. Our way, the way of Likud, proved itself. I remind you that after getting 52 seats last election, we are on the brink of a very big win.
Netanyahu has thanked voters for their confidence. His bloc of four parties has taken 62 of the Knesset's 120 seats. His main opponent, Prime Minister Yair Lapid, though, is insisting that the race is not over yet. He says nothing is final until the last envelope is counted. The final result could swing as votes are being tallied and is not expected until later in the week. For years, Netanyahu has been involved in a massive corruption scandal. He's been indicted on multiple bribery and fraud charges, but he denies them all. Reacting to the election results, the Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shataya has said Netanyahu's comeback shows extremism and racism are growing in the Israeli society. Joining us from Occupied Ramallah is Mona Kandil, and also we have for an analysis Elijah Magnier, who's a journalist and political analyst, joining us from Brussels. All right, Mona, first over to you. It's not over yet, as we just said, but it looks like things are going his way for now, for the former Prime Minister Netanyahu. What type of reactions have you seen or heard from either Palestinian officials or Palestinians in general?
As you have mentioned, there were statements from Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh saying that the results of Israel's election show a rise in extremism and racism in the Israeli society, and said that we expect that there would be even more extremism in the Israeli society, from which the Palestinian people have suffered for years. Also, Palestinian members of the Executive Committee of the Palestine Liberation Organization, they made it clearly saying that there is no doubt that the results of such a coalition will increase the hostile attitude towards the Palestinian people and make occupation measures even more extreme. at the end of the day, whether it would be Netanyahu or any other Israeli official, would be the next Israeli prime minister, the policies of the Israeli regime remain the same. The aggression against the Palestinian people remained the same. But now we are saying that the Palestinians have new Netanyahu, who's the longest, who's Israel's longest serving the prime minister. So they know very well his policy. But this time it would be something even more aggressive. Because as a prime minister, Netanyahu, as Palestinians are saying, and experts, of course, Netanyahu's regime will likely press forward. The first thing, press forward with settlement activity on occupied land. And this is maybe the first thing he would do. Maybe he would also give a green light for widespread operations across the occupied West Bank to tell the Israeli society that he had done his utmost to curb what he sees as terrorism, and now he would do his utmost to fight Palestinian resistance that all the Israelis consider as terrorism.
Elijah Magnier, obviously more of the same, but maybe because Netanyahu, if he gets elected, wants to prove himself, we might see more violations of Palestinian rights. Is that how you see it?
Thank you for having me. I think Netanyahu is going to be elected. The half marathon that he needs is to form the government. And because he is in coalition with the extremist Nazi right-wing religious Zionists, this is when he needs to give concessions to people like Itamar Ben-Gvir and his fellow in the other Zionist party. And I think this is a good blessing to the Palestinians, the 6 million Palestinians living between Gaza and the West Bank. It is time for them to understand that the white extremist Israeli government was replaced by another more extremist government. So nothing is going to change, but things are getting worse, and that will help the Palestinians to understand that there is no deal with the Israeli government, that the only way is to through armed struggle to recover the territory, because the Israelis have been lying to the Palestinians since the Oslo Agreement 1992-1993 after the Madrid Conference. So by having Netanyahu in power and having someone like Ben-Gvir as a minister who want to strip the Arab from their nationality, I think this is very good. It will create a unity among the Palestinians and understand finally that there is no good Israeli Zionist extremist and a bad Israeli very extremist, because they all at the end of the day are very extremist, and they will give no concession to the Palestinians whatsoever.
Mordechai Kandil, when are we supposed to find out for sure the results of this, and how long will it take for this?
Well, now we are speaking with almost 90% of the final vote counted. A right-wing bloc, of course, by Netanyahu, appears to have more decisive lead with 65 seats out of 120. Current Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid chances of holding on his coalition, of course, seem slim, as left-wing Meretz and Arab nationalist party Beled failed to pass the electoral threshold. It's the fifth election in 4 years, and now less than 18 months out of office, Netanyahu said that he would wait for the official results. We would expect the official results tomorrow, but at the end of the day, all the outcome from a number of Israeli media outlets and televisions have said so far that after 90% of the final vote counted, Netanyahu and his supporting, let's say, blocs have reached 65 seats out of 120 seats. This would give the Israeli president, he would, of course, ask Netanyahu to form the next Israeli cabinet.
Thank you. Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst from Brussels. Monica Ndil, thank you so much. Correspondent from Occupy Ramallah. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review.
Moving on, North Korea has once again fired multiple ballistic missiles in another show of force amid heightened tensions on the Korean Peninsula. According to South Korea's military, the North fired three ballistic missiles towards the east. They include a long-range missile fired from the capital Pyongyang and two short-range missiles fired north of Pyongyang. One of the missiles triggered an alert to residents in parts of central and northern Japan to seek shelter. The launches came a day after the North fired more than 20 missiles, the most in a single day. One of those missiles landed off South Korea's coast for the first time. The launches came after Pyongyang demanded the U.S. and the South to stop joint military exercises, saying such provocations can no longer be tolerated. Washington and Seoul say Pyongyang is about to resume testing of nuclear bombs for the first time since 2017, and that's why they are holding the drills. Pyongyang, however, views the drills as a rehearsal for an invasion. Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned that Moscow may leave the Ukraine grain deal again if Kiev violates its security guarantees.
Russia retains the right to leave these agreements if these guarantees from Ukraine are violated.
Putin said if Russia withdrew from the deal, it would continue to supply the entire grain delivered from Ukraine to the poorest countries free of charge. Putin's warning came after Russia resumed its participation in the UN-brokered Ukraine grain delivery deal earlier on Wednesday. Now, Moscow said it has received written security guarantees from Kiev to demilitarize the maritime corridor. Russia suspended the implementation of the deal on Saturday over a drone attack on its Black Sea fleet in Crimea. Russia blamed Ukraine for the attack, but Kiev dismissed Moscow's claim as a false pretext for suspending the deal. And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Analysis of recent events in Iran. In this program, we look at how Western governments have tried to portray the Islamic Republic of Iran as anti-women's rights. We also take a look at the esteemed position of women within Islamic societies and within Islam, as well as the status of women and how women are treated in Western societies. Please stay with us. According to Islamic teachings, there is no difference between men and women, and both have been endowed with intelligence and human dignity. According to Islam, men and women complement one another, and they complete each other. Both men and women can help each other to grow and to evolve. Both of them are central planks of society and family. The Holy Quran teaches us that the value of each human being, both men and women, lies in their piety and abstinence from doing wrong and from sinful behavior. According to the Holy Quran, men and women who are more pious are closer to God and more valued by God. Compare and contrast this with what some famous Western philosophers and intellectuals have said about women. Philosophers and intellectuals like Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Immanuel Kant, Friedrich Nietzsche, and Arthur Schopenhauer, among others, have seriously argued that women are inferior to men. The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer's opinion about women is quite degrading. In his essay on women, Schopenhauer tries to demonstrate the inferiority of women. Arthur Schopenhauer, who remained celibate throughout his life, once said, "Women have no talent or ability in poetry, music, and the fine arts. If women claim to excel in these arts, that is just wishful thinking on their part, and it's ludicrous." Arthur Schopenhauer believed that women are incapable of undertaking hard physical or mental work, and that they should concentrate on their children's upbringing and obeying what their husbands tell them to do. Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche, the German philosopher and cultural critic who had a profound influence on modern intellectual history, seriously argued that women are animals with long hair and deficient minds. Immanuel Kant was one of the most notable European thinkers to defend racism, and some have claimed that he was one of the central figures in the birth of modern scientific racism. Immanuel Kant believed that women did not have any citizens' rights, and that women belonged to men or were possessed by men. Given this background of Western thinkers and philosophers, and the fact that the sex industry in Europe and America has shamefully exploited and denigrated women for many decades, it seems obvious that the West does not have the moral high ground to preach any country about women's rights and women's freedom. Western countries know very well that women in the Islamic Republic of Iran are not treated as sexual objects or exploited unfairly. They know very well that the Iranian women play their full role in society and have achieved great successes in all manner of disciplines. Women in the Islamic Republic of Iran play a very important role in scientific and technological research, in universities and academia, in businesses and the high street, in the economy, in industry, and export of goods and services. Women's presence in Iranian industry and business, in academia and research, in companies and firms both large and small, is conspicuous and prominent. Wearing the hijab has not been a hindrance in any way for Iranian women, who have shown their success and excelled in all manner of fields. Despite all this evidence, Western governments have been determined to portray the Islamic Republic of Iran as anti-women's rights. There has been a long-standing Western media campaign to depict Islam and the Islamic Republic as suppressing women and being opposed to women's rights. Western academics, Western journalists, writers, and media have persistently tried to suggest that the hijab has held back Iranian women. But they have not come up with a cogent, logical, and convincing argument as to why Iranian women have excelled and thrived in university research, in businesses, and in industry. Westerners simply have no credible explanation for this fact. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has always emphasized that the West should be held accountable and should answer with regards to mistreatment of women in Western societies. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, they certainly owe us an explanation. Commenting on the empty slogan of freedom for women, the leader poignantly said, "What is really meant by women's freedom in the West is that scantily clad women are on public display, often through the media, so that the male population can derive some pleasure from this. Women are used to sexually excite men. In the decaying and decadent Western culture, freedom for women is really a euphemism for exploitation of women and treating them as sexual objects." Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei further added, "See women as dignified human beings, and then it becomes clear what is women's rights and what is freedom for women. See women as central players in proper upbringing of children, and women's rights and freedom will then become clear. See women as the most vital part of a family unit. Even though men and women both make up the family unit and both play a role in its maintenance, it is women who establish comfort, warmth, and calm at home, giving home a truly homely feel. From this perspective, it becomes clear what is women's rights and what is their freedom." We cannot claim with certainty that all the rights of women, as enshrined in Islam, have been afforded to them in Islamic societies. But what we can say with certainty is that women in Western societies are grappling with much more complex issues in trying to defend and reclaim their basic rights. Within Islamic Iran, women play a central role in families as wives and mothers. Their kindness and love brings peace and calm to the family setting. And equally importantly, they play a central role in the upbringing of children. Women ensure that children are taught everything they need to know, and they grow up to be responsible, caring, and useful members of society. This is the most substantial and valuable contribution of women to society. Iranian women, just like Iranian men, have an esteemed position, an esteemed status within society, and their rights are well defined and known to all. Western governments have tried to put pressure on Iran through the issue of Islamic hijab, but this pressure will invariably fail to halt or to hinder the progress and advancement of Iran's Muslim women, who have firm faith in their religion and always observe the hijab.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear mothers, lovely sisters, and kind sisters, all ladies from all around the world. Welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. You are listening to us from IRB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host, and here I have a dear guest, Sister Zainab. She's going to help us through some interesting stuff for a Muslim lady.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Asma. Thank you so much for having me. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope I could really get some very good stuff for a Muslim lady.
Yes, I'm pretty much sure of that. As you all know, being a human means that we have to reach a pinnacle, and that highest point is going to be our salvation.
True.
According to the Holy Book of Quran, we have been asked to go through the perfect models.
Yeah.
Actually, what we are going to share in this program is just something that we've been through our studies. And now we're just going to have some kind sharing of this information with the audience.
Definitely.
And of course, you're going to help us with that.
So, well, Asma, coming back to food etiquettes, we're talking about that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, taught his daughter some etiquettes regarding food. First recommendation was to wash your hands before food, sitting on the left side, and eating with three fingers. You know, don't involve all your hand in that. That's very kiddish behavior, I must say.
Not respectful.
It's very kind of like you're not respecting, and you're not, you know, it's not very considered to be a very, very good manner. So involve your three fingers, and if something is left on your fingers, the fourth recommended thing is to eat the food left on your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So eat it and swipe your fingers, and you're done. So we are done with four obligatory things and four recommended things. We have four things related to the etiquettes, and we're done with this topic. So the four things that are related to the etiquettes is that put your plate of food in front of you,
mm-hmm.
not on your sides. There's so many things, people who watch television on the couch or something and start like having, you know, from the right side or left side, or even some people in the hoodies.
Yeah.
I have seen so many people who are watching movies and they keep their chips or something in their hoodies.
Yeah,
how
they're too
bad
lazy.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that comes from the etiquettes, the values, is that put your plate in front of you. It should be in front. Number two, take small lumps. Do not take big lumps like galop it just in one time. Chew well. Third thing, start chewing well, because half of your digestion is done in your mouth. If you send unchewed food down, you're going to be the one who is going to have all those problems. Another thing, do not look at other people's face while you're eating. There's so many people I have seen on dining
very
table
delicate.
who say, see, look at how she's eating. See, look at her. Look at my sister, how she's eating, making fun of each other on dining table. That's really one of the things that's not recommended.
Yeah, too bad.
So these were some of the 12 things that we are taught. But apart from this, she would take water in sips. She would not take gulps of water at one time. But unfortunately, mothers, sisters out there, seeing their children, you know, taking water just once without sips, kind of considered a stunt. Even the children consider it a kind of a stunt. See, I did it once or for all. No.
Yeah.
No. There's so many research out there. Go and see how this is. Chugging is different from sipping. So sipping is definitely recommended rather than chugging. Because mm-hmm. chugging is something, once you do that once you take entire water once as a stunt or anything else, or like you are very, very thirsty or some, see, one of the very best recommended things once while we are taking water is remind yourself of Aba Abdullah. Once you send salutations on him, may Allah's peace be upon him and his purified family. So once you are having water and remembering him, definitely you'll avoid chugging. You'll start eating it and you'll start drinking yeah. water in, you know, sips. What happens once you do chugging? Chugging is once you, you know, have bulk of water at once, not in sips. Mm-hmm. What happens with your body? Our body is a very fine-tuned machine. Once you have it that way, فَتَبَارَكَ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. We do mistakes, but he's the best of the creators. He has tuned our body in a way. Our kidneys expel the extra water mm-hmm. in the form of urine or sweat or other forms, you know. So, but there's a price. Since you chugged this water, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the kidneys in a way, it will expel that. You're not going to expel like a balloon and then, you know, burst up. No, your kidneys are going to work it and expel. And with that expelling water, which was supposed to mix with the blood and then take it to other cells of the body, over there will be dehydration and you'll lose the excess water you took. And there won't be much fluids in your body now. And with those fluids through your kidneys, extra sodium will be taken out of your body. So since the extra sodium will be taken out of your body, you develop a condition called, medical condition called as water intoxication.
Yeah.
So all these are, you know, kind of manners we have been taught through the family of Lady Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha.
And of course, the woman in the family is the one who's responsible
exactly.
for all
that's
these
why
things.
Exactly. That's why I'm discussing these examples mm-hmm. because you as a sister, I stress on this thing that you as a mother, you as a sister, you as a daughter, especially as a wife, you can take care of all these things.
Exactly.
You're the center role player of all these table manners. And you as a woman, when you start to go and go out and have, you know, somebody propose to you and you're good. You know, mostly the couples, when they start knowing each other, you are into nikah or something, you want to go for nikah or something, you meet on a cafe or something, you know, you go for, look at the table manners of the guy.
Yeah,
see
exactly.
how he eats. If he makes sounds while shaving, that means he's not having the Islamic etiquettes or mm-hmm. Islamic manners. See how simple he orders.
Now the story is getting too much interesting, so let's go for a short break. Dear ladies, we'll be back in no time.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. We're talking about the lifestyle of the greatest woman in the earth, and she has to be supposed actually to be our role model. That's why we're discussing all these facts in order to improve our lives as Muslim ladies.
So we do all these table manners which we have been practiced in Lady Fatima salamu alayha's life. So I, as a Muslim lady, if I say I am your follower or I love you, I have to practice her table manners in my table manners.
Of course.
Even if they don't exist, I have to educate myself about that. Especially, thank you so much for this program through which we have been able to provide the utmost information regarding her, because it's unfortunately in her very, very less span of time she had in the life. But in that less span of time, she has been the best role model for all the generations.
And she actually has been teaching us too much of things, even in that very short time of life.
Yeah. So, we talked about the eating etiquettes or table manners that Lady Fatima Zahra salamu alayha had in her lifetime. And we as Muslim ladies can follow that, practice that as daughters, as wives, yeah. as mothers, as sisters. So,
and you know, as a young woman, even as a young lady, Who has been married recently, she has to be the one who takes care of every single thing that is going to be developed in her home.
Exactly. Just imagine if a girl child sees all that in her mother from the very beginning, how she becomes a very good mother tomorrow, how she becomes a very good wife tomorrow.
So it's a circle. So the circle of these Muslim ladies is not going to end. As a mother, you teach that to your girl, and then your girl is going to turn into a wife. And then that wife, again, is going to bring up a child, a baby girl, even the boys. She is going to be the center who's going to teach them all of these things.
Exactly.
All these details that might sound very much trivial, but actually there's so much important.
Exactly. You remind me when a man came to Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and tells him, when I go home, my wife would get water for me.
Mm-hmm.
She would kiss my hand, and she would... if she would like look at my face and I like kind of sound upset with my words or from my looks, she would tell me, if you are upset because of this world, then I am worried. But if you're upset regarding the hereafter, then I'm not worried, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, listening to this, replies to this man that your lady is among the women who are on the earth like angels, and she has the reward of half of a martyr. So when she would die as a martyr. Just imagine you as a wife.
Yeah.
You, once your husband is entering home, definitely they're upset, they're down, they're, I don't know, they're tired, simply.
Yeah.
Don't tell them, why you have so weird looks? I don't want to see you like this.
Don't
no.
start nagging.
Yeah.
Don't be the one who nags and complains
all
the time.
Try to understand.
Yeah.
Just give him a sip of water.
And that's what a woman is about. She is the one who's going to be so much understanding.
Exactly.
She's going to be the one who's
a
perceptive.
A man who came from outside and saw a lot of troubles outside, saw a lot of, you know, financial issues
mm-hmm,
outside
yeah.
because he's a financial manager, basically, who saw a lot of struggles outside, who's upset with the inflation and stuff. When he's coming home, just now you don't start like a radio. And
even if you as a woman are working outside, even in that case, still you have this responsibility on your shoulder to be the one who's going to moderate every single thing in the center of the home.
Exactly.
So from whatever that we're discussing in this program, we're actually trying to tell the women, the Muslim lady, some hints about the life of Sayyida Fatima salamullah alayha, in order to give her a role model,
yeah.
in order to make it clear for her that it's not just by saying that you're going to be a believer, a person who follows them. It's by practicing whatever that we have learned from them.
Yeah.
We have to tell the Muslim ladies that they are going to have some discussions about clothing for next sessions.
Inshallah.
So this is just a cliffhanger for the next session. Thank you so very much, dear listeners, sisters and brothers, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio, for lending us your time and attention. If you've missed any episode or you wish to stay tuned to the latest topics and discussions, you can visit parstoday.com. With a click on A Call of Islam, all your favorite programs will pop up and you could find a boundless archive of any topics of your interest. Also, if you have any suggestions or ideas, you could send your emails at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Thank you.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The economic situation in EU is worse than expected. After that, the European leaders submitted to the US dictates regarding Russia. European households are suffering the economic consequences more than ever. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT reported inflation in Germany is expected to peak at 10.4% in October, according to preliminary figures released by the country's National Statistics Authority. October looks to be the second consecutive month when the EU's economic powerhouse will see inflation hit double digits. The rate picked up from 10% in September and is above the expected 10.1%, the Federal Statistical Office, D-Stati, said on its website. Energy prices were 43% higher in October 2022 than this time last year, and there was also an above-average increase in food prices by 20.3%, D-Stati adds. The agency will release its final figures for this month on November 11th. Consumer prices have been on the rise across the EU, with the bloc's overall inflation rate climbing to almost 11% in September, driven by soaring energy and food costs. The world's largest chemical producer, BASF, has attributed its weak third-quarter earnings to surging gas prices in the EU. The company said that it was seeking to achieve long-term cost cuts at its European sites. The German multinational, which produces a wide range of products from basic petrochemicals to fertilizers and glues, said it will move ahead with a cost-saving plan to counteract sluggish growth, high energy costs, and overregulation. These challenging framework conditions in Europe endanger the international competitiveness of European producers and forces us to adapt our cost structures as quickly as possible and also permanently, the company's CEO Martin Brodmuller said in a statement recently, adding that the spot gas prices were 5 to 6 times higher than in the US. From January to September, the European sites of the chemical giant absorb additional cost of about 2.2 billion euros, about $2.2 billion. The facilities include the company's largest complex at Ludwigshafen in southwest Germany, where it makes everything from vitamins, foam chemicals, and engineering plastics to pesticides. BASF said earlier this month it was launching a cost-saving program that will be in place through the end of 2024. The plan targets annual savings of 500 million euros, or about 10% of cost, and will entail job cuts. The company said it would also look into further restructuring its chemical sites in the region over the longer term, given the high energy prices. The company posted third-quarter results recently, with revenue before taxes decreasing by 538 million euros year-on-year to 1.2 billion euros. Net income declined by 344 million euros compared with the same period in 2021 to 909 million euros. RT also reported Credit Suisse is planning a major overhaul aimed at restoring the bank's credibility. Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse announced recently some plans to slash 9,000 jobs and sell off its deal-making unit. The announcement follows a series of scandals and billions in losses. According to the bank, it is cutting 2,700 jobs in the final quarter of 2022 and will reduce employee numbers by 9,000 by the end of 2025. This is around 17% of the company's workforce of 52,000. The bank will raise around $4 billion in fresh capital to fund the overhaul. Credit Suisse will also revive its First Boston name, the U.S.-based investment bank it acquired in 1990, as it separates its deal-making unit from the rest of the investment bank. The overhaul is an urgent attempt to restore credibility at Credit Suisse. The bank racked up billions of dollars in losses from 2021 collapse of hedge fund Archegos and financial services firm Greensill. This, along with the bank's management chaos, shattered its status as one of Europe's most prestigious lenders. Credit Suisse has since reshuffled its management team, suspended share buybacks, and cut dividend payments. Earlier this month, the embattled lender said it was selling the landmark five-star Savoy Hotel in Zurich Financial District for as much as 400 million Swiss francs. That is about $404 million. The offloading of the asset has further raised investor concerns about the bank's financial health. Also, Bloomberg reported EU nation issues warning on potentially deadly energy disruption. If Finland were to cancel its planned rotating power cuts in winter, it could lead to a large-scale national disruption, the country's electricity grid operator has warned, according to Bloomberg. if the outages don't go ahead. The resulting uncontrolled blackouts would mean people could die. Arto Pakin, a network operations manager at Fingrid, told the news agency. The utility has repeatedly warned of potential rolling blackouts during the coming winter, citing great uncertainties related to the availability of electricity. The warnings came after Russia halted electricity supplies to Finland in May due to non-payment for power provided to the country during that month. Although Russian energy only made up a small fraction of the Nordic nation's total supply, the loss of deliveries threatens to have a massive impact, with Finns forced to choose between several bad options. Temperatures in Finland in winter often drop below minus 20 Celsius, while the cities get less than 6 hours of light a day in the darkest month of the year. This makes Finland particularly vulnerable to the EU energy crunch, with a loss of power potentially exposing residents to life-threatening conditions in a matter of hours. At the same time, Finland is reportedly far better prepared for power outages than other EU member states, though the nation has not suffered a national grid failure since 1974. The population has always been encouraged to plan for such a risk. Unlike neighboring Sweden and Norway, the country has few domestic power resources and has to import nearly all of its fossil fuel energy. Some relief is expected during the next few months when the Nordic nation finally brings Europe's biggest nuclear reactor at the Olkiluoto power plant into regular use after an almost 14-year delay. Meanwhile, the CEO of Norway's state energy giant Equinor has said natural gas prices will remain high in the EU for years due to the drop in deliveries from Russia. The fundamental problems in Europe is a shortage of gas, and there will be a shortage over time. And if Europe is to attract that gas, it should expect to pay a high price in the coming years, Anders Opedal told a news conference according to Reuters. He said Norway is currently providing record volumes of gas to the bloc, but warned that the latest EU proposals to cap prices for the commodity may prove to be counterproductive in battling the energy crisis. He argued, as cited by Bloomberg, any price cap is not really solving the fundamental problems. In fact, it can be counterproductive, increasing demand while supply is not increasing. Equinor recently overtook Russia's Gazprom as the EU's largest gas supplier, but analysts say it does not have the production capacity to replace Russian gas flows. Still, Opedal pledged that his company's contribution will be to produce as much as possible. Amid the rise in global energy prices, Equinor posted a record third-quarter profit recently, reporting that its adjusted earnings for July-September rose to a staggering $24.3 billion from $9.77 billion in the third quarter of 2021.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.